This is Rochester Speaks. We thank you for joining us. I'm Kevin Gillen. Education beyond high school and choosing the right college can be confusing and difficult if the student doesn't have the right plan. And from taking the right high school classes to the size of a potential college or university to student and campus life, cost and financial aid scholarships, student-teacher ratio, and the eventual goal of being prepared to step into the real world, there's a lot to absorb and think about. The college admissions process at the Harley School is an engaging and collaborative effort that includes students, families, faculty, and staff. We are joined today by Director of College Counseling and Summer Academy Director at the Harley School, Amanda Edelhart. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Where are you from originally?
That's a really difficult question for me to answer because I lived all over the country. I moved about every 4 years of my childhood, but I spent a lot of time in Massachusetts. So I went to boarding school and college there.
And how long now at the Harley School? Not that long?
No, I'm coming up to about 18 months here in Rochester and at the Harley School.
And what do you love so far about the Rochester community?
Well, I think what I've really enjoyed about it is getting to know people who have really close ties to the community. I don't think I've ever lived anywhere where everyone seems to know everyone else.
Yeah.
And we've really enjoyed the access. You know, we lived in a mega city in Asia before here. So the access to nature and just how peaceful it is. It's really peaceful and quiet and clean.
Yeah. And we were talking before the interview about the fact that you've been overseas for 15 years?
17.
17.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And all in college counseling? That's pretty much what you've done?
Yeah, I did college counseling. I'm a teacher and I coach sports, but college counseling is what I've done for the bulk of the time.
And when you were getting your college counseling back in the day, yeah, when you were in high school, was that going to be for college counseling or is this something you kind of fell into?
No, this is something I kind of fell into. I was working in schools with academically ambitious students, but who didn't actually know a lot about the processes for getting into colleges in different parts of the world. And so I felt like since I'd lived so many places and I'd experienced higher education in multiple places that I had a pretty good understanding of how to guide them. And like I said, I was a coach, and I think counseling and coaching kind of go hand in hand. You're guiding people, you're helping them come back from setbacks and set goals and targets. And so the two things kind of were really nicely related for me.
So tell us a little bit about the Harley School.
It's an incredibly welcoming and warm environment. Students have a lot of say in how they structure their academic life. They have really close relationships with their teachers. I was coming from a British school where relationships are more formal, I would say.
Okay.
And it's just delightfully informal, the relationships between students and the faculty. And I think that's why we get such great outcomes for our students, because they just feel like they can do anything they put their minds to.
Right. And I know it's on Clover Street, but is there a campus per se? Is it a few buildings?
There are a few buildings, but they're all interconnected. So it's a bit of a Warren, like a TARDIS, if you like Doctor Who. As you kind of go in, it just spreads out. It looks a lot smaller from the outside than it is when you get inside.
Yeah. And roughly how many staff, how many students?
That's a good question. We have just under 500 students between the nursery and 12th grade. And I don't know the number of faculty. That's a good question.
Well, now you have homework.
Yes.
And Harley is labeled as a college preparatory school. How is that different from other schools, say, in the area?
I think it has to do with the rigor of the academics. When we're talking about making sure students are college ready, we don't just mean that they can access what a college is going to offer, but that they can excel when they get there, that they have kind of control over their academic life. So it's really impossible to not be challenged at Harley, whereas I think sometimes in more comprehensive schools, there's more leveling where you can maybe skate by with a less rigorous program. That's pretty difficult, or I would say impossible, to do with what we offer at our school.
Right. But the number speaks for themselves. I mean, you guys have a higher percentage of admissions to colleges all across the board than most average schools.
We do. I mean, our students get into schools with incredible regularity compared to the published admissions percentages. But I think that has to do, yeah, with how well prepared they are and how interesting they are. You know, when you have more control over your academic life, you're able to pursue things that you're actually interested in. And when you pursue things that you're interested in, you're able to talk about what drives you academically.
Sure.
And that's what universities want. Like, they have more than enough candidates who have perfect scores and so-called perfect grades. That's not particularly interesting after a certain point. And it's much more interesting for them to read about a student who maybe has some ups and downs on their transcript, but is passionately engaged in something that's exciting to them academically.
Yeah. I love the quote I saw on the website about a successful life is one that is able to navigate the curves, even if that means crashing.
Yes.
Occasionally, right?
Yes.
And even though you specifically work at Harley, the information you're going to share with us is applicable to pretty much any high school junior or senior considering college?
Absolutely. I think it's even applicable to grown-ups, isn't it? Like, the reality is, if you plan on a life that has one direction, you're likely to hit walls over and over again. And if you don't know how to kind of move with the road that you're on, life could be pretty frustrating. So right. I think this applies to anyone, anywhere.
And you guys have college representatives that visit the school, but I'm sure that's kind of common in other schools as well.
I think it's really common. I mean, I think students possibly don't take their opportunities to meet reps as often as they should. And I think at Harley, it's hard to, you know, escape from it. I'm there, and it's a small environment. So if I know a school is a really good fit for a student, I can find them in the hallway and make sure that they go. But wherever you're at school, if you have reps coming to talk to you, that is an absolutely golden opportunity to find out more, to get your face attached to the name that's eventually going to be on your application, to give it some dimension, and to place yourself in the rep's memory, which I think is right. A really valuable opportunity.
And the final goal of the college search for anybody is, I like this too, create a balanced list of colleges that fall into four categories: likely, possible, unlikely, and highly unlikely, right?
Yes. One thing that I always say to students in my office is that there is not a single student who can sit in front of me and not have unlikelies on their list. And that includes students who are admitted to, you know, the most competitive schools in the country eventually. But the reality is, when you're talking about schools that are less than 10% admissions rate, you know, we compare it to the weather, right? If you had a 10% chance of rain, you would not bring an umbrella. If there's a 10% chance that you're going to be admitted to a school, you should not expect it to happen.
Yeah.
And I think when you can go into it with that mentality, it protects your mental health a little bit, and that's something that we think is really important. There will be schools for any student that actively want you, and those schools tend to know what they're talking about. If a school says you're a great fit for us, you should listen. And so when you have schools that are likely, we don't use the term safety for a reason, because we want the students to want that school back. You should not be applying to schools you're not interested in.
Yeah, sure.
You want schools that are likely to admit you and likely to give you good aid and good merit aid as well to help mitigate the cost of college.
And you guys actually have a checklist of sorts that begins in September of the junior year.
Yeah.
And so that's what kids in school now should be thinking about, that by the time they become a junior in September, they should be getting together some sort of a plan.
Yeah. And I think some schools, you know, they start talking about college actually earlier than we do. But for us, we quite like students to figure out who they are a little bit before they start making plans for the future. When you're a junior, the likelihood is you will change dramatically in that junior year. But it's a really good time to start the conversation. You don't want to start it too late. You want to have time to get your testing done. You want to have time to visit schools. You want to have time to like a school and then fall out of love with that school and fall in love with another school.
Yeah.
When you start too late, sometimes it can feel rushed, and that can raise anxiety levels. And again, we're really, really focused on protecting students' mental well-being and emotional well-being. And so preparation is one of the best ways to do that.
And why is springtime the best time to start visiting colleges?
They tend to have more information at that point about what their application will look like. So the junior year grades, you know, we hear it all the time. They're important because they're the last full year of grades a university is going to see. For me, as I help students devise a balanced list, like you said, between likelies and unlikelies, when I have the junior year grades, it's much easier to get a sense of, okay, these schools are going to fall into this category alongside their testing. Also, it's a great time to get a good feel of the campus. There are still students on campus. They've settled into the year. But, you know, really any time of year is acceptable. We just want students to get on campus, and it doesn't have to be far away. I mean, we're spoiled. One of the things I always say about Rochester, you're spoiled for choice. You know, within 3 hours, you can have any collegiate experience
sure.
you want, even internationally. You can go up to UT and get that non-American college experience. So even for students where they're thinking, I don't have the money to do a lot of visits, I can't travel, you don't have to travel very far. You can get a liberal arts college down in Geneva. You can get a mid-sized school right here in Rochester. You can get a tech school. You can get state universities. You can get an Ivy. you can get it all, and you don't actually have to go very far.
And plus, MCC is one of the best community colleges going.
It's not just one of the best community colleges going. It's one of the best deals available in the country, I would say. And they have outstanding programs. I toured there just a few months ago, and I was blown away by, you know, they have a full-fledged optics lab. They've got a beautiful new theater, their dental program for students, and their 2+2 nursing with the U of R. So we send students to MCC. And I consider it one of the best life hacks that they've figured out, frankly.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned myths and reality a little bit, but there's five myths that we'll touch on. We have about 5 minutes left, so maybe a minute each.
Okay.
But I'll tell the myth, and you tell kids and students and parents maybe what the reality would be.
Sure.
Now, one of the myths is this college will give my child a great education.
We just don't believe that education is given, right? So it's kind of the Harley philosophy as well, but I think it expands beyond that. You take the education that's in front of you, right? One of the most educated people I have ever met was my stepfather, and he never went to college, right?
Yeah.
He was a voracious reader.
Okay.
So I do believe that going to college can extend your opportunities, but I don't think one school is going to give you more than any other. It's really what you take from the opportunity.
Yeah, and I think pretty much at any level, education is mainly up to the student.
I think that's exactly it.
Yeah. Myth number two is the more activities I can list on my application, the better.
So the best part about the Common App, in my opinion, is that it limits you to 10. So, you know, you really have to think, what 10 things have I done that really demonstrate what I'm about? And what we're looking for there is intention. I really got something out of this experience, not I did this experience.
Right.
And so if you can't really talk about what you got out of it, you shouldn't have it on your college application.
Yeah, it's almost like a resume, in that if you've worked a ton of places, just list the ones that are maybe more important to you.
Well, I say that to students. I said, you know, I've been out of college for 20 years and my CV is 2 pages long, right? And so if your resume at 17 is longer than 2 pages, there's too much on there, right? It should be a single page and no more than that.
Third myth, the more tests my kid takes, the better their chances.
So out of my class of 45 students this year, we'll be sending at least a handful who did not submit any testing, and they'll be going to outstanding, highly competitive schools. What we say at Harley is students should take a test at least once so that it's in their pocket in case a school they love requires it.
And we're talking SAT or
SAT or ACT,
ACT
right. And they're exactly equal. You should not be testing multiple times in both tests. It's completely pointless. You should go with a test that suits your skills better. And you should not assume that it is a ticket in or out of any institution.
Yeah.
It's only a very small part of the application.
Well, with the SAT and the ACT, I'm happy to know that some things haven't changed since when I was getting out of high school. Another one I think was interesting, if there's an AP in it, my child needs to take it.
Mm-hmm.
There can be too much AP maybe, right?
I think yes. The simple answer is yes, right? The reality is you have students coming out of high school ostensibly with maybe, 15 APs, not at Harley because it's impossible to do numerically. But that's really unlikely that a student freshman year is really ready to do college-level work. So then you wonder, are these classes being taught at the same level, or are they an easy way to make people feel good, like a salve or a balm, on the intensity of the college process? What we say is, if you're really, really interested in a subject and you're excited to take it, go ahead and take it at the AP level. But otherwise, really pursue things that excite you academically. When universities are looking at your transcript, they are looking for, again, that intention, that understanding of what you want to learn and why you want to learn it, not just that you took everything AP going for you, but you can't say why.
And I know AP classes are supposed to be challenging, but they can be too difficult for some kids.
That's right. Well, we talk about rigor, and it's a word that's used a lot in college counseling and college admissions, but it's not an objective term, right? Every student has their own rigor point, and every student needs to make sure that they're working their hardest. But that doesn't mean that their hardest is the same as someone else's hardest and that every class is the right fit for other students. It's the same as the college search, isn't it? We know that some schools are a better fit than others for students. And yet in high school, we assume the exact same curriculum in terms of intensity is right for all students of a certain caliber. And it's impossible that that's true.
Right. And the fifth myth is this is a decision that will last a lifetime.
The reality is most students will either change their major or transfer. the majority of students will do one of those two things. And so we try to limit how finite this decision is in terms of students' perspective. Granted, we want them to attend a school that they're happy with, but we also want them to know that if they find that they are unhappy with their choice, if they find that they're unhappy with their opportunities or the location, that it's just another way of kind of rolling with the curves of life. You know, there are opportunities to transfer, there are opportunities to switch into different academic programs, and that it shouldn't seem, again, like that overwhelming, finite choice that can, I'm going to say it again, damage students' emotional state. You know, we know what it's like interacting with teenagers these days. They are under a huge amount of pressure. So part of our job as counselors and adults in their lives is to do everything we can to allow them to make decisions, but also help them understand that those decisions are not going to derail or cause their life to be perfect.
Right.
They are simply sets of decisions along the path of kind of growing up.
And maybe using that college or that first college as a springboard to the rest of your life.
Well, right. As I said, we send students to MCC, and they use that exactly that word as a springboard. They think, well, I'm going to come here. I'm going to get a great start to my college career. I'm going to figure out exactly where I want to go and what I want to do.
Right.
And I'm going to jump into that. And students do that from MCC. They do it from other universities and colleges as well. It gives them that time to think,
yeah,
and space to think.
And there are some students who decide after they go for a month or two, college is not for me. And that's fine, too, because it's sort of up to the individual.
It is up to the individual. And, you know, we have students taking gap years, and that's becoming less uncommon in the U.S., which I think is a really great thing, allowing students to get some space and perspective and grow up a little bit before making a big financial decision and a big emotional decision about where to attend college.
HarleySchool.org is the website if you'd like more information. And we thank once again Director of College Counseling and the Summer Academy Director at the Harley School, Amanda Edelhart. Thank you very much. Very informative.
Thank you so much for having me.